Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Jesus is going to come, his second coming, in his revelation, and all his power and his glory. We read about his revelation in Matthew 24 and 25. That is not the rapture. That's where people get all mixed up in their eschatology. That's why when people, I heard somebody this past week, I like to listen to other preachers, and there was a preacher not too far, don't live too far from here. He was actually interviewed, and he is a post-trib, he's a post-trib pre-wrath preacher. Which that don't even make any sense. And I wanted so much to ask, how can you be post-trib? Post-trib's after tribulation, but yet still be pre-wrath. In other words, he believed before the seventh trumpet. That's what we call. So you can't be both. It's like, it's an oxymoron. That's a whole nother story anyway. But we are pre-trib folk here. We're not gonna be in the tribulation period. If you think you are, you're. And I heard the guy say, and I wanted to talk to him so bad over the internet. I'm watching this thing. He said, there's not one verse in the Bible that talks about the coming of the Lord could be today. And I just wanted to reach that screen and pull him. What are you talking? You need to read your Bible. The Bible's full of about looking for him. Anyway, I won't go into that. You go through at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus comes. During the tribulation period, at the middle of the week, the Jewish people had the abomination of desolation takes place. Remember? Matthew 24, 25. Jesus says, head for the mountains. Pray that your flight not be in winter. Pray that the mamas aren't giving sup to the babes. And by the way, that was a great question somebody asked me a couple weeks ago. Will there be babies in the tribulation period? They thought they'd be taken away when, you know what I'm talking about? The Bible says, pray that the moms aren't giving suck to their babes. They're going to be babies in the tribulation. That's a whole other story, but you understand. Head to the mountains. All that's in Matthew 24. Speaks a little bit in Matthew 25 about that. Many of them, I believe, are going to go to Bozrah, what it talked about in Isaiah 63. Modern day, well, it ain't modern no more, Petra, where that great, that Indiana Jones, was it Temple of Doom? It was filled where I got the privilege of going to see Petra and all. I believe that's where they're going to hold up for 3.5 years. When Jesus comes in the Revelation, he doesn't set his foot on the Mount of Olives first thing. He comes through Bozrah, and he rescues those people. We just read it. And then he rescues those people who were there in Petra. Then he goes, is this boring to y'all? He goes from called the King's Highway. You read about it in the Old Testament, where he literally from that road, he goes up through what's called Armageddon, the Valley of Jezreel, all the way up to Jerusalem. By then, Armageddon, the armies of the Antichrist has formed, and they've surrounded Jerusalem. Matter of fact, they're already ravishing Jerusalem. It talks about in Scripture that the Antichrist is already attacking, and they think all hope is gone. And Jesus comes at the right moment. By the way, Jesus is always on time. He goes through the Valley of Jezreel, Armageddon, again, that's that blood that we see, treading the winepress. Then he goes, and at the head of the army is the Antichrist and the false prophet. He takes those rascals and he throws them to the lake of fire. He begins the millennial reign of Christ. And that's what all I say in verse number 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemy made his footstool. Today he's expecting. One day he's going to act. Man, ain't that good? And we're going to be with him. He's going to come on a white horse, and it says the armies that follow him. And I think following him on white horses in Revelation chapter 19, it speaks of that. Revelation 19:11 is his revelation. And we're going to be following him on white horses. How many of y'all have never rode a horse? You're going to be riding one. And you don't need no riding lessons. Following him, and he's going to do all the work, per se. He's going to slay him with his mouth. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Verse number 14. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This verse amplifies what was stated in verse 10. Remember, he's bringing all what he's taught in Hebrews to not in a nutshell. Doug, what's a good word? Danny, you're president of a college. Bring it all to fruition? No. A summary. That's why you're president of a Bible college. He summarizes it all in just a couple of verses here. He says the same thing in verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. By the which will, speaking of God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Remember last week or a week or so I preached on that message, once for all? Well, I can't get over that. Once for all. You know, I got a few more. I'm about done here. Listen, I can't understand anybody thinking you could lose your salvation. Doesn't even register with me. It's as bad as those people who think that there's nothing in the Scripture about Jesus coming today, looking for. Now, anyway, once you are birthed into God's family, it's insane to think you can be unbirthed. And that's what he's saying here. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering did what many offerings could not do. If Christ cannot save you and keep you, then there is no hope for you. God has no other way of salvation but this way. It's not through baptism. It's not through the Lord's Supper. It's not through sacraments. It's not through church membership. It's not through good work. It's only through the blood of the shed blood. There's no other. Then verse number 15. Notice that the Holy Ghost also witnesses to us, saith the Lord. And I mentioned this last week, and I'll reemphasize again this week, how people would talk about the Bible does not speak about the triunity or the trinity of the Godhead over and over, as it says in 1 John 5 and in Genesis 1. I can go on and on. But again, this section of Scripture speaks of the Godhead. Notice in Hebrews 10:9, we see the will of God. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, the Father. In Hebrews 10:12, we see the work of Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So we see the Father, we see the Son, and then we see here in verse number 15, the Holy Ghost. We see the will of God, we see the work of Christ, and we see the witness of the Holy Ghost. That'll preach. One day when I'm not here, I'll preach off somewhere. I'm going to use that as an outline. Y'all already heard it. I just put it together. Okay? There's the will of God. There's the work of Christ and the witness of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to say this and move on again. If in your Bible it says, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, get rid of that Bible and get you a King James Bible. The word here is supposed to be Holy Ghost. You know, all other versions have Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We've talked about this. They would tell you, whether it's NIV, ESV, XYZ, whatever the things are out there, you know, that the translators did not translate our Bible properly. I not only believe in the preservation of God's Word, I believe in that He superintended the work. Every word is pure. And these smart alecks who say, well, I got a better translation because the old King James, it says this or that. Listen, when it says Holy Ghost, that is His name. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28. When it speaks of the Spirit, that is His working. We've gone through this over and over and again. Anytime it says the Holy Spirit, it speaks of the working of the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is, be not drunk with wine wherein it exists, but be filled with the Spirit. It's His working. Are you see the difference? Y'all have learned this. Y'all been in the Bible class enough, but I just want to draw that to your attention about the witness of the Holy Spirit. By the way, aren't you? He's our best friend.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.